CBS News. The presidential race, possibly more of a horse race than expected. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A post-convention poll of registered voters by CBS News and the New York Times suggests that the presidential contest is becoming more closely fought than was originally thought. In June, Jimmy Carter led President Ford by a margin of 2-1. That has now narrowed somewhat. For every four voters who would vote for Carter, three would vote for the president. The poll indicates that the economy is not the albatross experts thought for President Ford, nor does opposition to an anti-abortion amendment appear to be a grievous political burden for Jimmy Carter. More politics after this.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if you could take a roast out of the freezer, put it in an oven, and have it defrost and cook, and call you when dinner's ready? Well, the revolutionary Amana Touchmatic Radar Range microwave oven can do that and more. That's right. Amana has made the greatest cooking discovery since fire even greater. Because the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range makes microwave cooking simple as 1, 2, 3. Now you can take food from the freezer to the table just by touching a few numbers on the control panel. So when you push start, the computer inside the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range takes over. It remembers and carries out your instructions with split-second accuracy. And when cooking's done, the timer even remembers and displays the correct time of day in lights. To really appreciate what the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range can do for you, you really have to see it in action. Plan now to stop by your Amana retailer this week just to see a demonstration of this fabulous way to cook. It's really something.
President Ford has accused his challenger, Jimmy Carter, of advocating defense policies that would make it impossible for the United States to defend itself or its allies. The president said Mr. Carter is proposing troop withdrawals from Western Europe and South Korea that would undermine America's credibility with its friends. Carter replied before a news conference in Springfield, Illinois, that Mr. Ford's charges bear no relationship to the facts. The issue, he said, is not undermining American strength, but eliminating waste and mismanagement in the Defense Department. From Springfield, it was on to Chicago for Carter and a Democratic election year tradition there. From WBBM Chicago, Bob Crawford has a report.
Mayor Dealey's Democratic machine proved it still had the muscle to help make presidents when it generated a huge turnout for a torchlight parade welcoming Carter to the city. Riding in an open limousine with Dealey at his side, Carter was greeted by an enthusiastic and friendly crowd, many of whom were waving campaign signs as he passed through a valley of glittering railroad torches. Later, before a party state convention, delegates cheered as Carter touched upon a now familiar campaign theme.
We've got to have somebody in the White House who can provide leadership for this country, who can spell out the dreams for the future, who can correct our mistakes, answer difficult questions, bind our nation back together, and meet the legitimate needs of our people. And that change is going to take place next January the 20th with your help when I go to the White House.
Behind the show of confidence, though, there is concern over a new poll commissioned by the Carter camp, which indicates that the former governor's once big lead over President Ford in this key state has shrunk to 4 points. Bob Crawford for CBS News, Chicago.
Secretary of State Henry Kissinger forecast Thursday that common interests will keep the United States and China on a parallel course despite the death of Mao Zedong. Kissinger told reporters the Chinese leadership has yet to even begin assessing the impact of Mao's passing on Peking's policy. Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield agreed.
I would expect the relations to continue on the same basis between the People's Republic and the United States, and I would at the same time expect that the differences between the Soviet Union and China would continue as well.
Senator Mike Mansfield. An Indian Airlines 737 jet was hijacked a short while ago while on a domestic flight from New Delhi to Jaipur. Airport sources at the New Delhi airport tell Reuters News Service that a passenger armed with a pistol forced the plane to fly to Pakistan. It landed safely at Lahore Airport. Now this.
Work campaign for human development is people together with hope, learning how to care.
Learning how to care. Learning how to love and hope. And learning how to share.
Campaign for Human Development, United States Catholic Conference.
Lebanese Christian leader Kamil Shamoun says he and President Assad of Syria have reached complete understanding on how to end the 17-month civil war in Lebanon. Shamoun predicting the war will end within weeks. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
This is KIXI, Seattle. Stay tuned now for the CBS Mystery Theater, which follows in just a moment. A billion-dollar inheritance becomes a burden in more ways than one for the garage mechanic who comes by a two-bit fortune, the ingenious story dramatized on tonight's CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Next. The weather report. Tonight's low will be at about 55 degrees, tomorrow's high 75. No chance of rain through Friday night. Saturday, highs at about 70 degrees.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... This is E.G. Marshall. In probably his greatest sonnet, the English poet William Wordsworth wrote, "The world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. We have given away our hearts, a sordid boon." This story is confirmation of that thought and statement.
I warned you that money can't buy happiness.
Who are you kidding? You got to have been without it to know that's a bunch of bull.
Very well, Mike. Find out for yourself. But don't ever say I didn't tell you so.
Our mystery drama, A Two-Bit Fortune, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following is a test. Please answer all questions truthfully.
Question one. Which of these do you like most? Rowboat, dentist, or Polisuzu?
Question two. If you and three friends wanted to take a nice trip, would you take turns carrying each other, take turns throwing each other, or buy an Opelisuzu?
Question three. Given a choice, would you attend a lecture on good posture, hurt your foot, or buy an Opelisuzu?
If you answered Opelisuzu to all three, see your Buick Opel dealer and take a test drive. Otherwise, see someone else.
A lot of folks say the only differences between beers are the names. Well, I know some people who wouldn't like to hear that. Because for 100 years, they've been Beechwood aging their beer to give it a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. Why go to all that extra time and expense? They know. You can tell a great beer when you taste it.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you giving your children all the attention they deserve? Naturally, we all wish we had more time for our families. This is Susan Strasberg for the National Society for the Prevention of Blindness. And as a mother, I think the health and safety of our children's eyesight is one thing we can't afford to neglect. Potentially dangerous toys shouldn't find their way into children's unsupervised playtime, and hazardous household items should be kept well out of reach. 90% of all eye accidents that occur to children are preventable. Two-thirds of these accidents occur during play or sport, and most of these children are unsupervised. If that happens, then parents are obviously not doing their job. We must teach our children how to play safely and safeguard their vision. For free information on children's eye safety, write Prevent Blindness, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019. The address again, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019.
Has never dreamed that a millionaire, for some unimaginable reason, upon his death, would make us his sole heir to a fabulous fortune. A harmless enough daydream for anyone, and certainly one shared by Mike Wilson, the best mechanic Frank Calisi ever had at his gas station. An innocent fantasy that Mike is to regret bitterly as destiny deals him a fateful hand in a game that is too far out of his league to play.
Hey! Way to go, Mike, way to go. Strike on out, we take all the mark.
Come on, Mike, baby, just one more time. You can do it.
Hey, look, Penny, Frank, what do you want, miracles?
Why not? You do them every day.
I mean, like that's four strikes in a row.
So you'll make it five.
Honey, you got the magic touch.
You got the old groove now. Now you got to strike out to go one pin up for the championship. Federated Oil over Sincon Gas. I'm counting on you. You think a win would hurt my franchise, huh?
It's a $200 bonus, honey. Buy us that drawing machine.
Okay. If it's for you, Penny, I gotta come through.
Here's your ball, champ. Now win this for old Frankie, huh? Right in the old groove.
You better hope. Okay, here goes.
Hey,
Mike, you always come through.
Hey, how could he lose? Come on, everybody, the drinks are on me.
No, on me. I was a lucky winner.
Ah, lousy two bills. Save it for you and Penny to get married. You wait till you hit it really big. Hey, Mike, what are you doing?
Letting down a transmission. Why?
I'll get Pete to take over. Come on, I need you a moment.
Okay, sure. Right there. What is it, Frank?
Mr. McCann on that big foreign job of his.
Yeah.
His RPMs are dropping off, and you know he worries more about that car than he does about the two-timing dame of his.
Okay, so I'll have a look.
Yeah, I guess he has more worries about the blonde. Uh-huh. He wants someone to run him home first, then bring the car in for servicing. So why don't you shuck the overalls, clean up, and just take it?
Hey, Frank, that's way out in the valley.
Oh, it'll give you a chance to check out on how the car is running.
Yeah, but I got a date with Penny.
So you'll be a little late. Come on, take a chance. The guy is loaded. Maybe he'll slip you a century for your trouble.
Oh, no. Penny was planning to go...
Come on, for old Frank Confederated Oil, huh? With a winner like you, who knows how good it might turn out.
Hey, buddy.
Hmm?
Hey, buddy, you all right?
Oh, I'm all right, son. Just a dizzy spell. Who are you?
Just a guy, Mike Wilson, a grease monkey. Hey, you know you're bleeding?
Yeah, I must have cut myself when I fell. You going into Arco Springs?
Yeah, sure. I work there.
Would you give me a lift in?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I better. You look like you're bleeding from the ear there.
Huh? Well, if I am, it's the only place they haven't tried to bleed me yet.
Yeah, well, come on, get up. Yeah, I'll take you to the hospital in town.
Just get me to town. Then I'll tell you where to take me.
How you holding up, Bindle?
I'm not a hobo.
Oh, pardon me.
You consider me a bum?
Well, I didn't figure you for, you know, billionaire. I mean, baggy old pants, beat-up hat, sneakers. Who are you, Prince Romanoff?
A man is not always what he seems.
No skin off my nose. Don't make no never mind to me.
You said you were a grease monkey?
Yeah.
Quite a fancy car you're driving.
This dreamboat? It ain't mine. Belongs to some big wheel, lives up on the ridge over the valley, a guy named McCann. I just drove him home. I'm taking this back for a checkup. She needs a good tune-up.
Number four cylinder's hanging up a little. Sounds like a lifting rod.
Hey, that's pretty good. You hear that right away?
I have had some interest in the combustion engine.
I'll say this for you. You ain't no ordinary bum.
And I'll say this for you. You're no ordinary grease monkey if you service a car like this.
Hey, I'm a good mechanic. But what it's worth...
should be worth a great deal. What are your ambitions?
How big can they be for a guy like me? Marry my girl Penny, raise a family, maybe take over Fat Frank's gas station one day.
Nothing larger than that.
Oh, sure. I like to pick up the phone some morning and have this guy say, hey, Mike Wilson works at the Federated Oil there on Wilcombe Drive in Arco Springs. And I'll say, sure, what's it to you? And he'll say, it's what's it to you is more important. This rich guy you wouldn't even know is my client, and he picked your name out of the phone book, and guess what? You're his sole heir to $25 million.
You'd like that.
Huh? Come on.
What would it bring you more than you have now, outside of money?
Oh, well, me and Penny could get married right away instead of waiting to save up. I could move out of Arco Springs, hit the big time, be a real mechanic, the best in the world. Maybe get into auto racing. Yeah, there'd be no stopping me.
You really think it would bring you happiness?
I know it.
Wealth would be that important. It would give you more than you have now.
Hey, what are you, some kind of philosopher or something?
No. So you believe in the American dream?
Sure. Hey, are you all right, mister? The head? It's all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I just like to talk sometimes, I suppose. When I have nothing to lose. And the other person has nothing to gain.
Look, we're coming into town now. I'll take you right to the hospital.
No, drop me in back of the Hilshire Hotel, if you don't mind.
Sure. That's easier for me, but I just...
You've helped out enough already. Now, what was your name again?
Mike Wilson.
Federated Oil Garage on Wilcombe Drive.
Mm-hmm, that's right. What's your name, pal?
Stanford Spruce.
Okay, pal. I guess life handed you a few knocks so you can have your little laugh. Huh?
There have been very few in my life. Wealth is not what it seems, young fellow. It's a curse, not a blessing.
Yeah, sure.
You don't believe me about money?
You said it. Can you get out all right?
I'll manage. One further request.
That figures. How much you expect to hit me up for?
Just a quarter, if you can spare it.
Here. Hey, but listen, old-timer, you need a little more of a stick, huh? What the hell? It's only money.
No, a quarter is all I need. Goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
Goodbye. Hey, you sure you're all right?
Thanks to you. Maybe someday I'll have a chance to pay you back.
I won't hold my breath waiting.
And he said he was Stanford Spruce?
Yeah, just like that.
But you said he looked like a bum.
Honey, the guy was dirty. He even smelled kind of high. He hadn't had a shave in at least a week. He had dirty old baggy pants, a stained old windbreaker, and a pair of sneakers with holes on the outside.
Hey, did you check in with the hospital just in case?
Yeah, I thought of that. They never heard of anyone like him.
And you gave him money.
Come on, Penny. Only a lousy quarter. What am I, henpecked before I even get married?
Don't knock it, Pally. I've been through two wives. You got someone wants to hold on to what you got, count your blessings.
Honey, I didn't mean to sound cheap. It's just you're so... Well, you're so darn honest and kind. Mike, anyone can take advantage of you.
I don't want anyone. I just want you.
Oh, honey, I love you.
Hey, come on. I mean, we're Frank.
Hey, don't mind me. I'm all for it. All for everything coming up, roses, eh? I mean, Mike, maybe your old bum really was Stanford Spruce, and one of these here days he will turn up.
Sure. And give me my 2 bits back. Yeah.
What
paper? Who is... What time is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. Your day off at all. It's just 7:00, but I wanted to be the first to get to you, and I see I am.
First to get to me with what?
It just came out on the radio. Stanford Spruce. He just died.
Who?
Stanford Spruce, you know, Daddy Warbucks, the guy with all the dough. Nobody was sure wasn't dead already.
Hey, easy, easy, Frank. You're leaving me way behind. What's this wingding all about?
Oh, brother, you're going to find out. Stanford's Bruce died and left a will. Tell you the truth, I was surprised I even got through to you. I thought your phone would be all tied up.
Frank, Frank, would you like to cool off and make some sense?
Well, it ain't going to be easy. I'm so excited. I mean, he made you his heir.
He made me his what? What are you talking about? Stanford Spruce left me some money?
Yeah, that old bum we all laughed about, remember?
Yeah, the one I loaned a quarter.
And he promised to pay you back? Well, brother, did he ever earn in spades? I tell you, he made you his heir.
Yeah, I know. You told me. He left me some money. Gee, I'm sorry about the poor old guy.
Yeah, never mind about him. Think of yourself. Mike Wilson, baby, you're a millionaire.
A what? Holy cow. $1 million?
I didn't say million. I said billion. B, baby, like in bucks.
I'm going to hang up now, Frank, because I think I'm going to throw up. Yeah. I still got to be asleep. I mean, this is a crazy scene. I mean, man, this is way far out.
You said it was what you wanted, Mike.
Who's that?
That old bum you picked up and befriended. I told you who I was, but you didn't believe me.
Well, I mean, who would have the way it happened?
I warned you that money can't buy happiness.
Hey, who are you kidding? You gotta be without any to know that's a bunch of bull.
Very well, Mike. Find out for yourself. But don't ever say I didn't tell you so.
A simple proposition, as old as time, and as fresh as the obituary page in today's newspapers, particularly the ones of recent vintage. Let's see how it works out in Mike Wilson's case, as soon as I can return with Act Two.
Now you'll never miss an episode of your favorite soap opera, even if you're miles away from a television. Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you True Value Hardware Stores offer the General Electric FM-AM portable radio with TV sound for VHF channels 2 through 13. Now, if you can't see your favorite TV program, you can do the next best thing. Listen to it, wherever you are. The GE TV band radio is convenient to carry with you, and you can either plug it in or switch to battery operation. And it comes with an earphone, so you can listen without disturbing others. True Value Hardware Stores also offer a radio that makes the hardest part of the day, waking up in the morning, a little bit easier. The GE FM-AM clock radio wakes you to music or alarm. The snooze alarm lets you doze for a few minutes, then wakes you up again. And the lighted clock and radio dials are easy to read in a dark room. General Electric radios are just some of the values at participating True Value Hardware stores. And remember, tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Hey, are you the country doctor?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the United States of America, and I need help.
Okay. What do you want me to help you on?
Well, I've got 200 years of growing pains and 200 million people.
Where do you hurt the most?
In my heart, because that's where those 200 million people live. Do you understand that?
Yeah, because you're the United States of America.
Then what's wrong with me, doctor?
Well, maybe it's because all the bad people in your heart is what makes you sick.
Gee, that sounds serious.
Yeah, because if your heart doesn't work, then nothing works.
Well, how do I cure the bad people in my heart?
Well, you could tell them to be good to each other and to love each other. And then maybe you'll feel much better.
Well, God bless America. Please?
From the Franciscans, with love.
The death of a tycoon is front page news. But when it is the death of a nation's mystery man, a self-made recluse with a lifestyle beyond the average man's conception, not for its magnificence, but for its asceticism, it is a story which is not as old as yesterday's newspaper, because it occupies the headlines day after day. And when his heir is someone he scarcely knew, the enormous, voracious pressure of the hungry media, fed by the demands of its readers, its listeners, and its viewers, is something beyond belief until it has been experienced.
Hello. Yeah, no, look, I can't talk now. Oh, what's the use? No, look, I'm sorry. He doesn't live here anymore. Oh, you leave it off the hook. Otherwise, a guy could go nuts. Gee, I gotta call Frank.
Frank Service Station.
Oh, Frank, it's Mike.
Oh, sure. We got a tow truck. Hey, what do you say, kid? How's it going?
Frank, I'm going out of my bird here. I had to take the phone off the hook. Look, I just wanted to say about coming into work.
Hey, don't show around here. This place is like Candid Camera, one of the conventions. We're covered like a tent. Stay under wraps.
Look, Frank, I got two tune-ups, a head job, and a whole new carburetor chain I want to set in for Mr. Roberts. How can I do that without coming in?
Kid, don't you know where you're at? You don't have to get your hands dirty for the rest of your life. You got it made. Hey, how about a loan so I can buy out of this lousy franchise and own this station free and clear?
Gee, I want to keep talking to you, Mike, but this is on company time.
To hell with the company. I'll buy it so I can talk to you.
Honey, I shouldn't tie up the phone.
Why not? Don't you know I could buy out the phone company tomorrow if I felt like it?
Mike, have you been drinking?
No, but I oughta. All my friends oughta. Don't you know you're talking to a millionaire? I mean, haven't you read the papers?
Oh, no. Who needs it? Take a powder, Jack, whoever you are. Okay. Who is it?
Amos Keith. I have to talk to you.
Why?
I am an attorney. Mr. Spruce's attorney.
Stand in front of the peephole. Just let me make sure you're alone.
I am standing there already.
What do you want?
I don't want anything. I think you need me, a lawyer.
Okay, I guess you tabbed it. Hold it a moment. Come on in. Welcome to the crazy farm.
Thank you, and let's get the door closed fast.
Yeah, don't worry, brother.
I see your phone is off the hook.
Well, if it wasn't, I'd be off my trolley.
I can imagine. I've been trying to reach you by phone all morning.
So is the rest of the country. What's your problem, Mr.?
Keane, K-E-A-N-E. My immediate problem is you.
How come?
I am not a young man, Mr. Wilson. Would you mind if I sat down?
No, of course not. Be my guest.
Have you any conception of what it's like downstairs? Take a look out the window.
Yeah, I know. Holy Madrid, it's getting worse and worse.
Yes, and that's only the beginning. Three TV networks and cameras, the press, photographers, interested bystanders, neighbors, deadbeats, and get-rich-quick operators who want to make you richer, police, to say nothing of the ladies, in all shapes, sizes, and total availability. The life that Stanford Spruce lived. How do you like the mantle he has laid on your shoulders?
I don't know. I never asked for any of it. I mean, not to say I wouldn't like to have a crack at being rich. Who wouldn't? But who needs this much?
How much is this much?
Well, I listen on the radio, and they talk like it's over $1 billion. I can't even imagine anything like that.
You don't have to.
You mean there's something wrong with the will like that?
No. Oh, it will possibly be contested, but we can take that up in good time. At first, let's get the whole picture. There is, technically, of course, that amount of money. But in practice, there isn't, of course.
What do you mean?
Over half the estate is in trust for various charity or humanitarian grants. A medical foundation, church donations, grants in education, etc., etc. But the residue of the estate, aside from a few personal bequests to servants and various items of personal property and so on, is left to you. So you will still be a very rich man.
How rich is rich?
Oh, after taxes, I would say in the neighborhood of $25 to $30 million.
Hey, that's a real nice neighborhood. I'd settle for that. Oh, but not for that.
One of the prices you have to pay.
Look, go away. I don't care who you are. Please, just go away.
Mike, it's Penny.
Penny, are you alone?
Yeah.
Okay, half a sec. It's my girlfriend.
Oh, Mike, that's a crazy mob downstairs.
How did you get through?
I didn't. I mean, I ducked around to the alley and back, and then the super's wife let me in the back door.
Excuse me, Penny. This is Mr. Keene. He's, he was Mr. Spruce's lawyer.
Oh.
How do you do, Miss...
Miller. How are you, Mr. Keene?
Well, that is a moot point. There are a lot of difficult days ahead for both myself and your fiancée.
What do you mean?
We have a lot of planning to do. The first thing to do is to get you a hideout. I have that arranged already.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean, a hideout?
I mean, we have to get you out of circulation for the next 6 months or so till all the legal ramifications are settled.
6 months? Are you kidding? I got a job. I got people depending on me to keep their cars in
shape. My dear Mr. Wilson, you don't expect to go back to being a mechanic.
Why not?
Oh, Mike, honey. Things are all different now. I mean, don't you see? Oh, nothing's ever going to be the same again.
Of course it is. I'm not changed.
But your life has. You are now in the public eye. And you're going to have to fight very hard ever to have any kind of a private life again. Now, Miss Miller, you can help us.
Oh, how?
I have a car and some security men waiting around the corner. I want you to go downstairs and tell everyone outside that you are Mr. Wilson's fiancée.
Hey, no, hold it. I don't want to make any use of Penny. I can go down myself.
Not quite yet, Mr. Wilson. You're not ready to be interviewed. Take my word for it.
Oh, honey, I don't mind, really. Let me help.
Now, that's the spirit, eh? Now, you tell everyone that Mr. Wilson has agreed to come down and be interviewed with his lawyer, Mr. Amos Keene. That's me, of course. Just keep them occupied long enough for Mr. Wilson and myself to slip out by the back door and get away.
Away where?
To the secret hideout I have arranged for you.
Well, what about my clothes? My things? I'm not packed.
May I remind you again that you are a very rich man. Everything will be provided. You will want for nothing. Or would you rather go down and let that mob pull you apart?
Oh, listen to Mr. Keene, honey. Really, they're kind of crazy down there. It's a real big story, you know?
Yeah, so big deal. I gotta face the whole thing sooner or later. Now, let's get it over with. Oh, and no dice on the hideout, Mr. Keene.
I had hoped you would have more sense. However, it has to be done one way or another.
What? That's a gun.
Indeed it is, and it contains very real bullets. And although I despise handling firearms, I am an expert. Now, listen to me carefully, both of you. We are going downstairs and out the back exit. And for Miss Miller's sake, let us hope there is no trouble. A simple matter of selection. But if there is, she would be the first to go.
Hiya, boss. What do you say this morning, huh?
I say one of these days, Barney, I'm gonna try to take you out.
Now, don't try it, huh? I mean, you wouldn't stand a chance.
Anything would be better than being hung up in this plush-lined prison.
Mind, it ain't so bad. I mean, look, Bloody Marys in a pitcher, them eggs, Benny, or whatever, all like that. What more could a guy want?
Freedom.
We're only trying to protect you, like we done the same for the guy before you.
Is it the kind of life he lives?
Well, he didn't go for Bloody Marys.
Yeah, well, neither do I at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Coffee, eh?
Okay, go ahead. I could use a cup. Now, you guys kept Stanford Spruce locked up in solitary?
Oh, no. He was like you know, way he wanted it.
Yeah, but it isn't the way I want it. So what's the deal, huh?
You gotta go by the big wheel.
The wheel? You mean Spruce?
He calls the shots. Anything more I can do for you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell Amos I want to see him.
Well, that I could do, buddy, anytime. That I could do. I mean, you want to come down to cases... You are the man. I mean, you're the bottom line. You gotta foot the payroll.
Well, I won't need you, Barney, but don't be far off.
Okay, Mr. Keene, whatever you say.
All right, Mike. You called this conference?
Conference? That's for laughs. I called you in, Amos, because I've had it. I want out of Stir. I want to run my own life. I'm through having you do it for me.
I've only been trying to protect you.
You're lying. All the way. This is cards on the table time. The way I'm starting to figure is that what I most need protection from is you, not anyone else. Okay, so I'm going to offer you a new deal.
I am always ready to listen to any proposition.
Okay, then you ought to buy this one. I just want out. Okay, I want my girl, my identity, and my life back. So, I figured just how that could be done.
Did you now?
Yeah.
How?
I should have seen it right from the start. I didn't need to turn up anyone's ear. I was doing fine, just the way I wanted to, by myself. So, we make it nice and legal. I'm turning down the inheritance. Who needs it? I want to go back to what I was.
Oh, yes, I suppose I was afraid that it might come to this, but I'd hope not. The answer is no.
What do you mean, no?
My dear naive young man, we are fiddling with an empire here, but unlike Nero, I have no intention of letting it go up in smoke. I am more than aware that other wills may turn up, that there may be litigation over this one that exists. But it is the one I am going to see through probate for two excellent reasons. First, because you were his best witness, because you could not conceivably have exercised any coercion. And second, aside from a matter of a few million dollars that are neither here nor there, it leaves me in total control of the estate. Oh, no, Mr. Wilson, you will do exactly as you are told, and you will cause no trouble about this will. You will accept your inheritance without question at a special press conference that I have arranged for you tomorrow.
Look, you can't dictate to me.
There's a lot more than money at stake here. Life is also part of the settlement.
You couldn't kill me.
Oh, I could. Or have it done. But that wouldn't serve my purpose. Fortunately, I have a better lever to make you behave. Miss Penny Miller. You wouldn't want anything to happen to her now, would you?
So Mike Wilson is now learning the very simple fact that money, far from not being able to buy happiness, it frequently buys just the opposite. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
Do you have a taste for things that are a little out of the ordinary?
Look, Doris, it has a clock in its stomach and it glows in the dark.
I think we should snap it up, Dick.
Do you like things that are fun but are also functional?
Look, Dick, this is fun.
Uh-huh, but is it functional, Doris?
Do you want to be the talk of the town?
Oh, Dick and Doris, we were just talking about you.
Then the Opel Isuzu is your kind of car. It's not ordinary, it's fun but functional, and people will talk about it.
Did you hear what Dick and Doris bought?
The Opel Isuzu, a dandy new small car. At your Buick Opel dealers.
Join the pace, Radio Citizen Band. It's the greatest band in the land. Cause with your face, you got the world by the ears.
Don't join up with just any citizen's band. Get state-of-the-art CB design from Pace, a pioneer in solid-state CB.
You got the world by the ears.
Pace can update the 23-channel you buy today to a 40-channel. Ask your dealer.
Recently, I came across a little-known organization that is really reaching out to help thousands of children and adults afflicted with serious visual impairments, such as glaucoma and macular degeneration, causing great physical and emotional difficulties. And with all the commercialism in the world today, I was struck by their sincerity and their humanity. I know that I don't do as much as I could or should for worthy causes, and so I offered to say a few words in their behalf. This is Arlene Francis speaking for the National Association for the Visually Handicapped. This is nonprofit, founded by Mrs. Lorraine Markey, herself a mother of two visually handicapped children. If you know someone who needs their help with counseling, optical aids, large print books, and educational services, write the NAVH, Box 700, New York, 10016. Funds are badly needed, and they would certainly be very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Mike Wilson's life has become a plush-lined nightmare. He has only to crook a finger to have any of the luxuries of life, except the things he really wants. Friendship, love, freedom. Amos Keene can't afford to allow him those, or his own position as kingpin of the huge Spruce Empire would be threatened. Mike, in his sumptuous hideout, wherever it is, guarded night and day, is effectively cut off from all his past. And his dreams at night are tortured by the remembrance of the man who gave him a fortune.
I warned you, money can't buy happiness. You know what you said.
Sure, sure. I said it was a bunch of bull.
Still feel the same way?
You know I don't. The way it turned out, I don't want the money. I mean, how do I get rid of it?
You give it away.
Yeah, I tried that.
Would you believe it? So did I. For so many reasons, it isn't so easy as it seems.
But what am I going to do? You got me into this. Get me out.
I thought it would be nice, once I was dead, to sit and watch someone else turn slowly on the spit. But now I'm sorry. I'll try. That's the best I can say I'll do. I'll try.
Hey, Spruce. Spruce, look. Look, hold it a minute, huh? Look.
You having a bad dream or something, boss? Can I get you something? A drink? Something to eat?
Well, what are you doing here, Varney?
Just my job. I gotta look after you.
Yeah, in more ways than one. Brother, if I ever get the chance...
Oh, you won't. I ain't got so much brains. But this, what I do, there's no one better.
Look, I mean, what's the point, Barney? You call me boss, but you take orders from Amos Keene.
He signs the payroll.
I want to talk to my boss.
Who's that, cousin?
Frankie Calisi. Best guy ever come down the pike. Fat Frankie.
Settle?
No. I want to talk to my girl, too. Penny Miller.
Fat Frankie?
Yeah.
Penny.
Right.
Oh, check it out with Mr. Keene.
Yeah, and Barney.
Yeah?
Just for laughs. Tell him if I don't get to talk with them, how's about the police?
Some things ain't funny. I'll do you a favor. I won't pass on that last crack.
What kind of a clown are you, Pete? That Davis tune-up as a rollover in the engine could shake your teeth loose. Check it out, huh?
Hello, Frank.
Huh? Oh, hey, Penny, you looking for me?
Yeah, I've been trying to phone, but...
Hey, I know. Phone's tied up something awful since Mike's been out. Everybody's got complaints.
Yeah, well, that's why I took my lunch hour to come over. Is there some place where we could talk?
Well, yeah. Give me 5 minutes to wash up and put on a jacket, and we'll cut out to the horse's neck down the street. If we're lucky, maybe we wouldn't have to fight the jukebox.
I just can't believe it of Mike, Frank.
No, I wouldn't have believed it neither, kid. I guess he just figures he's out of our class now.
Well, has he been in touch with you at all?
Well, first day after news and all, he called. Sounded like his old self, Dan. What about you?
Yeah, that day, you know, the same day, I saw him at the old apartment. He had this fancy-type lawyer.
Yeah.
And you know the crowd that was around here and at Mike's apartment and, well, how they were badgering him and all. So this lawyer guy, he asked me to go down and say that Mike and he would be down to make a statement to the TV and radio and press guys.
Yeah, so, Ann?
Well, I went down because I knew I was just covering so they could slip out the back way. Well, I thought Mike was going to get in touch with me and let me know where he was going to be at.
But he didn't.
No. No, he just never called. Well, after that press conference, I mean, he called me one time, but he was like a stranger. I mean, well, Frank, we were going to be married.
Yeah, sure, I know. You don't have to tell me, kid. I loved a guy like a brother. I never told you, but you know what my wedding present was going to be?
No.
I was going to make him a full partner.
Oh, no, Frank.
Ah, listen, no big deal. The guy deserved it. He made the whole station. Know what I mean? Personality, the work he did. Oh, Penny, you couldn't find a finer mechanic this side of the Indiana pits. I mean, he was something special, like an artist, like...
Yeah, I thought he was something pretty special, too. Well, I guess that's what Mr. Spruce saw in him.
You know why he left him the money?
Sure, he left him a bundle I guess neither of us could handle. Like it's too big. I just hope...
What? You just hope what, Frank?
I hope it ain't too big for him to handle either. You wanted to see me, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's time for a showdown.
Oh, well, then, if we're going to talk business, will you join me in the cigar?
No. No, thanks. Only place I'm smoking is inside.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Haven't you been made comfortable enough?
We're not talking about comfort, just about who runs this ship. I think it's about... Hey, what kind of a guy are you?
What is that?
Oh, watch out.
Don't try to say anything stupid. You're covered by more than one gun right where you sit.
No. I was just trying to put out the match.
I am perfectly capable of handling it.
It was burning your hand. I mean, didn't you feel...
My dear boy, your concern is most affecting, but I think you can credit me with enough sense not to get my fingers burned. I've spent a lifetime making sure of that. Now, what is it you want?
Just out is all.
I've told you that is quite impossible for the moment.
Why?
Let us say we are a pyramid turned upside down. You are the apex. For the moment, we have to balance on you. Nothing must be allowed to upset that balance. Once the will has been accepted and I am firmly established as executor, then you will no longer be necessary.
Just what does that mean?
If you behave yourself, follow orders, cooperate, then your future may be quite secure.
As secure as Stanford Spruce's turned out to be?
That was a different situation. Accident interfered.
Yeah, you mean he died without your permission?
Something like that. When I first met Stanford Spruce, he was 22 years old. He was worth maybe $500,000 with a lousy little company his family had left him. Under my management, he built himself into a massive conglomerate worth $2 to $3 billion. I was Spruce Enterprises. I made the legend. Nobody is going to take that empire from me. Certainly not an accident like you. Barney, you can come in. Mr. Wilson is ready to leave. However, every effort will be made to make you comfortable in the interim. Oh, come. I don't want your stay here to be an unpleasant one. Please be sure that when the time comes, you will be well taken care of. May we shake hands on it?
We better not.
You insult me?
That wasn't the idea for the moment. It's just some blister you got where you burned your hand.
Huh? For heaven's sake, I did burn myself.
Yeah. Look, I still don't know what my future is.
Oh, well, as long as you bring that up. I think, as the saying goes, the natives are getting restless once more. We should have another press conference.
You mean I'm going to get out on a leash again?
If you're a good boy.
Good boy, my foot. Look, I want to see my girl, Penny. I want to see my friend, Frank.
If you want to see either of them again, ever, you will have to be a good boy.
Frank, you saw him on TV at that news conference. You heard what he said?
Yeah, Penny, I heard.
He's going away for 6 months till that will is all settled. Did you watch him? He doesn't... I don't know, he doesn't look like himself or sound like himself. It's like... Frank, do you think he could be in some kind of danger?
Well, like what?
Well, I don't know, maybe this is crazy, but... Frank, do you ever get a notion that ever since that old guy left him all that money, that you were being followed?
Well, why?
Because I do. Because I'm sure of it.
Ah, you've seen too many movies, kid.
Frank, I am not kidding. I think something's going on. I think that Mike is in danger. And I'm ready to go to the police.
With what, Penny? What could you say to them?
I don't know. Just what I feel.
Do me a favor, kid, and yourself, don't.
So you're scared too, huh? They have been following you.
Oh, whoever they are, I think.
So you do think Mike's in danger. But from what?
Search me, baby. I just know it's way out of our league. We better keep our noses clean.
Well, I'm not just going
to
say
that. Penny, honey, listen to me. I'm telling you, you'd never make it to the cops.
Well, then what are we going to do?
asleep.
You are. At least half under. Otherwise, I couldn't talk to you.
What are you back for? To tell me money isn't everything, to say I told you so?
I am back to try to apologize.
Fat lot of good that does. It's too late.
Not quite. I have one last bequest, which was a hidden one in my will. It will make up to you, I hope, for what has happened, and give you back a chance at a freedom I never had the courage to take.
What do you mean?
Do you know what killed me finally, Mike?
No.
A disease called syringomyelia. It has many forms and many symptoms. It's eventually terminal. And if you are as unlucky as I was, it is swift and sure. The two main characteristics in my case were, first, loss of all feeling in my hands. I could burn myself and never notice.
Burn yourself without knowing it?
Yes. The second was a complete loss of pain in my upper torso, as though a protective shawl was wrapped around my shoulders. The result was some dizziness, a fall such as I had had when you found me, and very quickly, death.
Amos Keene. The other day, he burned his hand, and at the news conference, several times news people tapped him on the shoulder, and he didn't even notice.
Quite correct. I will quote to you one paragraph of my will. All chairmanships, presidencies, or majority stock holdings will be administered by my lawyer, Amos Keene. To him I leave all furniture and any and all physical possessions of mine. To be his in perpetuity.
Holy... You mean you left him the disease that killed you?
Amos Keene will be a dead man by the time the will is probated. He received the legacy he deserved. And you will be a free man.
No feelings to spare for that cold old fish. If he hadn't died suddenly when he did, by the time the will went through probate, I'd have been the one who got knocked off.
Mike.
Oh, so we're lucky it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do with all that doing out, Jump?
Well, first off, I'm buying out the franchise here so you and me can go half.
Wait a minute. That was going to be my wedding present.
You can give me a better one. A whole month off for Penny and me is honeymoon enough, huh?
Mike, listen, I can't marry you now.
What? Hey, listen, I already bought the house and all the furniture. Anyway, I got down payments if you decide you like everything. What do you mean you can't marry me?
I don't know how to say it, Mike. I'm just not made for... Well, I mean, for money like that and that kind of life. I just wouldn't fit in. You'd be ashamed of me.
The day I'm ashamed of you won't ever come around. Can you see me made for silks and satins and top hats, all that jazz? Ah, forget it. All I'm taking from the old man is like what I mentioned already. The rest of it's going back to charities or to take care of making sure all the little people invested in his companies don't get hurt because he died off or because of that crook, Amos Keene. From now on, we're back just where we started. You, me, and good old Fat Frank.
Yeah, like them musketeers used to be on the TV.
Right,
yeah.
Like plain, ordinary people. You got enough to eat, you keep a roof over your head, you have a few laughs, and a little put by for a rainy day, huh? Who needs money? The rest of life you can't buy. You gotta live it.
So, if unexpectedly your phone rings one day, or a letter arrives in the mail, and you learn that you are a surprise heir to a fortune, stop and think twice before you accept it. Not that I think you won't, for this was, after all, only a story. And how many billionaires are there to go around? I'll be back shortly.
Tired of deodorant sprays that seem to miss their mark? Want something powerful you can put on in the dark? Shift
to the English leather stick. The stick shift is on. English leather's got the stick that'll always protect you. With the English leather scent, they'll never forget you. Oh, shift to the English leather stick. The stick shift is on.
There are three good reasons to shift from an expensive deodorant spray to English leather deodorant stick.
One,
English leather goes right where you want it, so there's no waste.
Two,
it's concentrated to give powerful protection.
But the best reason of all is right under your nose.
The famous fresh clean scent of English leather.
English leather's got the stick that'll always protect you. With the English leather scent, they'll never forget you. Ah, shift to the English leather stick. The stick shift is.
Look for the English leather deodorant stick at your favorite toiletries counter.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sign-Off.
Exactly.
Compare Sign-Off to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sign-Off tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sign-Off Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sign-Off. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sign-Off.
The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sign-Off tablets.
Exactly. Sign-Off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Two thoughts at the closing. A quotation from Isaac Walton. Look to your health. And if you have it, praise it next to a good conscience. For health is the second blessing that we mortals are capable of, a blessing money cannot buy. On the other hand, just to balance the scales, from the Bible, wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Take your choice. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Morgan Fairchild, Ian Martin, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
No chance of rain through Friday evening. Highs Friday 75, Saturday 70. Winds north-northeast 10 to 20 and becoming southwest 5 to 15 Friday evening. A few low clouds with mostly afternoon clearing through Saturday.
In the air, everywhere, bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
The time is 11 o'clock.
CBS News. It's now reported one hijacker is responsible for diverting an Indian Airlines jet to Pakistan, but there's still no word on why he did it or if he's holding any hostages. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The plane, a Boeing 737 jet carrying 77 passengers and a crew of six, was on a flight between New Delhi and Bombay when it was diverted to Lahore, Pakistan. India's National News Agency reports the plane made a safe landing at Lahore Airport, but had virtually no other details. The latest incident marks the second time an Indian aircraft has been skyjacked to Pakistan since the two nations became independent in 1947. The first occurred in 1971, when two Kashmiri Muslims staged a similar skyjacking, blowing up the plane after all passengers and crew had been evacuated. CBS News continues following this message.
This is Helen Van Slyke. I wrote The Heart Listens, a book millions of you enjoyed. Now I've written a sequel called The Mixed Blessing. It continues the life of Elizabeth Quigley and her granddaughter, Toni, herself a mixed blessing. Toni's story answers the most agonizing question any woman can face. I call my new book The Mixed Blessing. I hope you'll call it the best modern romance you've ever read. The Mixed Blessing in paperback from Popular Library.
Hi, I'm Denny Bracken. When you meet the cook with me here on most of these stations Monday through Saturday, he or she won't necessarily always be wearing a chef's hat. That's because a number of my guests are entertainers, sports figures, housewives, authors, anybody who enjoys cooking, sharing a favorite recipe or two, or just talking about food. Why don't you join us for an informal chat about prize recipes that may soon become prizes of your own when we meet the cook Monday through Saturday on most of these CBS radio network stations.
Speculation among China watchers in the immediate post-Mao period centers on the expectation of a power struggle, possibly pitting moderate premier Hua Kuofang against Mao's widow, Chung Ching, a leader of more radical elements. More from Barry Kalb in Hong Kong.
For the time being, no major changes in China's foreign policy are expected as a result of Mao's death, including his desire to normalize relations with the United States. In announcing Mao's death, the government called on the people to continue to carry out the chairman's policies in foreign affairs. And one of the major policies of Mao's final years was rapprochement with America. The other side of that coin was Mao's dislike and fear of the Soviet Union. It was probably the necessity to counteract what the Chinese saw as the Soviet threat that led them to signal the Nixon administration in 1971 that bygones might be bygones. But as Mao begins to fade into history, his policies might begin to do the same. Some analysts of the Chinese government say there must be some in Peking who feel a Sino-Soviet alliance is more natural than the current state of affairs. There's no telling right now how strong such sentiment might be. If it exists at all, it could start to surface within the next year. Barry Kalb, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Secretary of State Kissinger said the death of the Chinese Communist Party chairman will not lead to any change in the four-year-old American policy of seeking normal relations with Peking. Democratic vice presidential candidate Walter Mondale, campaigning in South Bend, Indiana, said the United States should do everything we reasonably can to encourage responsible leadership in China following the death of Mao. Democratic standard bearer Jimmy Carter waved to tens of thousands of cheering spectators Thursday night as he joined in a traditional campaign torchlight parade in Chicago. The parade capped a day-long campaign swing through the Midwest for Carter. At one point in Chicago, he attempted to define party differences.
There's a basic difference between our two parties. Republicans are always afraid of the future. Democrats, who make a lot of mistakes, who sometimes fumble, who sometimes argue with one another, we still know where our faith lies. And that's among people like you. Because you are not afraid of the future, the Democratic Party is not afraid of the future. And that's where we want to keep it.
More news in a moment.
I'm gonna sky the America. Others pass by.
There's an America out there most people never see. But you can when you own a rugged four-wheel drive Scout. Explore the back roads, discover a new fishing stream, go hunting, or take your family on a real outdoor camping trip. And now is the time to buy the 1976 four-wheel drive Scout of your choice. Because every international Scout dealer is ready to deal, and deal big. So don't miss out, America. Take a test drive today and get a four-wheel drive price you just can't afford to pass by.
Scout the America, others pass by.
Check your Yellow Pages for the international harvester dealer nearest you. He's got a great selection of four-wheel drive Scouts in stock, and he's ready to offer you a money-saving deal right now.
Higher consumption of milk, milk products, and other Western-type food is reported to have cut the risk of getting stomach cancer among Japanese. Dr. Takashi Hirayama said studies of 265,000 adults clearly show the significantly lower risk of stomach cancer in drinkers of two glasses of milk daily. Dr. Hirayama adds the risk was lowest in non-smokers drinking two glasses of milk daily. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Bright and beautiful music, all day and all night. This is KIXI.